be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, so they have iron chariots, and though they be strong. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, that again we can come, and I pray now as your word does preach, Lord, to help us have understanding minds. Lord, we're prepared to hear from you. Lord, we're in an expectant position, Lord, mood, Lord, ready to receive what you have for us. And you know our hearts, Lord, you know what we need. I pray that use me, Lord, to preach your word here tonight with power, conviction, Lord. Put it all into your hands. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The title of the message is Living to Capacity, Living to Capacity. Getting us up to speed, last week we were looking at the Israelites as they were appointed by lot, their portion of the land. Everybody had a portion that came to them. God had decided this. Everybody's portion was decided by God. I'm sure it was the best portion. It was the place that God wanted them to be. There was a purpose behind it. Probably many purposes behind it. I don't know what the mind of God is. We might see a little bit of it tonight, but you know, God had a reason. This is why things were the way they were. Last week we looked at Caleb. You know, Caleb was faithful, and when he came back with the spies and said, it was a good land. Him and Joshua were the ones that said, we can take it. And the rest of the spies said, no, there's giants. It's too much for us. But Caleb was faithful, and so was Joshua. And God promised Caleb that everywhere that he had tread, every place that his foot had been, that he would be able, that would be his possession in the land. 40 years had to go by. He's 80 years old. Remember, he said, man, he went to Joshua. He said, give me that mountain. I want that mountain right there. He said, that to be for my possession. And so we looked at that last week and he went over. There was battles to fight on that mountain, even though that was his portion. That's always the case. We talked about this, that Canaan being the place that God wants us to be in this life. It's Canaan's never a picture of heaven. There's never a battle in heaven. There's never sin in heaven. There's never all the things that went on with the Israelites in heaven. It's Canaan is the place in this life that God is leading us to. We were talking this morning in Sunday school hour about abiding in Christ. I mean, that's the place right there. If you're abiding in Christ, you're always going to be in the right place everywhere else. It doesn't matter. So we know that to abide in Christ is a place that God is leading us to. It is a possibility to be in the very presence of God constantly. It's possible to do that, to live in the presence of God all the time. Otherwise, we wouldn't have a command. He never gives us a command that he doesn't enable us to follow through on. It's not an impossible command. We talked about that. And so we were looking at the principles of possession, possessing what God has for us. In this life, it's not all pie in the sky like some people. We don't get saved today, and then we're not getting nothing else from God until we get to heaven. No, that's not. There's a lot that God has for us in this life. It's good. I said this morning, keeps popping up, man. There's probably a place for all of us spiritually that we could be at, or we could be living at a entirely different place spiritually than we're living right now if we would just give everything that we have of our life to God. And so we think about that. But when the principles of possession were a couple things. One of them was there's still going to be battles. There is going to be battles. You know what? Satan's going to get after you. You're not always going to be on cloud nine. You're not always going to be encouraged. You're not always going to feel like you're getting the victory. Matter of fact, there's just going to be battles that you're going to have to go through. It's not all a bed of roses and everything going just the way you want. It's going to be a battle. Maybe more battles than not. Now you can get the victory in the battles. I mean, you can always get victory. I don't mind fighting a fight as long as I know I'm going to win, right? I always say this. Some people don't watch an old. I watch an old football game on when I know my team's gonna win. Boy, it's a pretty relaxing thing. You watch it and you just know the outcome, right? If we know we're gonna win the battle, that's great. And there's still gonna be giants to face. There's gonna be things come up in your life. It's internal. It can be internal, can be external. Spiritual things. There's things that's going to come up in the land of Canaan that you're going to have to go against. Walled cities. There was giants in the land, right? Obstacles, circumstances. That's just life. That's just the way it is. It's going to come up. And so but the principles of possession is that you will, through Christ, get the victory. You're going to win that. And that's just the way it is. Is it a battle? Yeah, it is. There's something to do there. You know, if you know about the children of Israel, I always I brought this up before, but I think about it in my mind, that the tabernacle, they had the tabernacle before they had the temple, and when they brought it in, they set it up in the middle of the camp, and everybody camped all around it. I always thought this in my mind. I thought, you know, the person that wants to really get close to God, the people that was on fire for God, guess where they camped? Close to the tabernacle. And I bet you the people that was backslidden, you know where they wanted to camp? As far away from the tabernacle as they could get. Still be called the children of God. Still be up there with them, but right on the peripheral, right on the edge. They didn't want to be close to the things of God. Now, it might not have been totally that way, but I believe that's it. But they placed the tabernacle. Why do you think the tabernacle was right in the center of the camp? Well, it was right in the center of the camp to remind them that God was to be the center of their lives. That, you know, that is that principle that stuck out. The center of the main thing. I believe when they set camp up, I believe that the first thing they got set up was a tabernacle. I think that's what they put up before they put anything else up. I remember when I went to school, in my day in school, we studied American history, and you know, when they these colonies, when they came over and they would set up a village or a town, one of the first buildings they built was the church. They would do the meetings there and everything. They would have town meetings there and all that. But they set the church up as a reminder. Why did most of them come, or a lot of them come? For religious freedom. They worship God, you know, according to their dictates of their conscience. And so they set up the church to remind everybody, listen, it was going to be the center of the town. Not a bad idea. It was going to be the center of your life. I think that the same principle applies. I think for us as Christians, that our church life, you know, not so much the building, but our church life should be the center of our life. That should be the priority over everything else. Everything else ought to revolve around that. Everybody's birthday, picnics, cookouts, family reunion, all that ought to revolve around what's going on here. It ought to be not the center thing in our life. Our own business, even. I think that's just the way it is. I think when we get to where God wants us, when we get to the place that God wants us to, that's just the way it'll be. That'll be exactly that way. And for a lot of us, you know, that is the way that it is. I said this morning, you know, before I was a pastor, I already had this settled. I knew today that I was going to be here next. I knew today I was going to be here Wednesday night. I knew today that I was going to be here Sunday school. I knew today that I was going to be here Sunday night. Whatever church, I knew I would be there. It wasn't like I'm going to wait and see how it is, how I feel, what's going to be going on. I'm not saying that I might not get sick and can't make it. I'm just saying my mind's already determined what was going to come up that was going to interfere with it. It'd have to be pretty catastrophic. I mean, you know, a pipe blew off the side of the wall and water's running through the middle of the house. Well, I might be late. I might have to shut the well off. I mean, and you know, I might not even have to stay home and get it fixed, but I'd at least throw the well off and get down here, and I might be wet when I get here. But I mean, there can be catastrophic things. I understand that come up, but the basic principle of all that was the center of things. And so, you know, each tribe, when we look at these people, each tribe had this appointed place, their portion. It was in a portion that was appointed by God. Now, where the lesson went, we looked at this a little bit last Sunday night when I was talking about that. You know, we're prone to not be happy with anything. You know what? You get a pound of gold every day for a month, and after a while, you're not happy. You want to, right? And so what happened was, we see some complaining going on here by Joseph's tribe. You know, the, let's see, first, I start in 14. The children of Joseph spake unto Joshua, saying, why shall I give me but one lot, one portion? See, they're kind of whining about what had been given to them, this appointment right there. And what happens when we start thinking about our lot in life? In ours, it's a little bit different. There's the inheritance for the Jews or the Israelites was the land, and our inheritance is the Lord, right? So we have a portion, but we have a sphere of influence, maybe even a ministry. Sometimes people aren't happy with those either. You know, I was talking to somebody recently that we're talking about, well, you know, I wanted to do this because I want to, you know, I want to do my music and this and that and the other thing. Well, that's fine, but maybe that wasn't what God wanted you to do. Maybe it's only a certain size ministry, you know, something like that. God, each one of us has our appointed place according to the measure of grace and the gift of Christ. This is like It's the capacity that we have. You know, there's things, I think about this in this way. There's things that, I remember going down, let me give you this example. I remember went down to Brother Alderman was started Shenandoah Baptist Church. And we went down, he had me come down there just years ago. We went down there and I met with him, had lunch at the school. And then we went outside and he took me to the little cinder block building that they started in. It was a little brown building. And it belonged to J.H. Fralin. J.H. Fralin was the father of J.D. Fralin, who was the father of Jimmy and Johnny that built this addition on our church connection. Anyway, J.H. Fralin had this building, and he wanted to let Shenandoah, he said, I'll just let y'all use this building. And Bob Alderman, he told me, he said, man, I told him, I said, no, we don't want it for nothing. We want to rent it from him. He said, so J.H. said, how about, okay, he said, $100 a month. And Brother Alderman told me, he said, I told him, yeah. He said, I told him, okay. And then he looked at me, he said, I didn't know where he was going to get $100 a month. But we went around and we looked at, you know, what that building's really obscured by everything else. They got a big church. They got a house property over here as a house, as the office. And we went in there and, man, I mean, they got a school, so they got to have a principal of the school. And we went all that. And I said, man alive, I said, how in the world? I said, I couldn't do it. I couldn't keep up with this. He said, oh, you could. He said, if you came in on the ground level, you know, and in every step went, he said, you could do it. But just to drop in, see, that I don't have the measure of grace for that. See, God didn't give me that. I mean, I would have if I went the way he did, see. So sometimes it's the measure of grace that, and the measure of grace that we have also has something to do, and this is what I want to come out tonight, is how our capacity has expanded to receive it. You know, we have to be able to receive it. So I'll show you that here in just a minute. The very first point we see in verse 14, there was a complaint. And I read it a second ago. Josh said, why hast thou given me but one lot and one portion to inherit, seeing I am a great people, forasmuch as the Lord hath blessed me hitherto. So the complaint was that we're a great people and we don't have a portion that corresponds to this greatness. Now, this greatness here could mean physical size, but also there might have been an allusion to the fact that Joshua's tribe. This is also his tribe. The people of Joseph. This is where Joshua would have come from. So it's like, hey, we got connections, right? We got connections with you. You're the one doling out the portions. We've got connections. We're important people. They might have looked at themselves that way. And so they kind of boasted that their past blessings justified a greater reward. They wanted more space. They wanted more room to grow. They wanted more room for whatever they thought that they had to match their perceived, at least, greatness. And not only was their portion small, but they went on to say, Joshua answered him, verse 15, said, if thou be a great people, there's a little bit of sarcasm there, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, and if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. And so he went down to verse 16, it said, the children of Joseph said, the hill is not enough for us, and all the Canaanites that dwell in the land and valley have chariots of iron, both they and who are of Bethshean and their towns, and they who are of the valley of Jezreel. So on the one hand, he's bragging that they're a great people. And on the other hand, he's saying, well, yeah, but they got these chariots of iron. See, there's a problem here. There's a couple things that are popping up. So the portion, we think our portion's too small. And then to make it any bigger, you know, we're going to have to cut wood. I'll show you what he said to him in a minute. And then there's the Canaanites that are there have got chariots of iron. So in other words, that's kind of thrown out there that there's this seemingly impossible circumstance or situation that we're going to have to face. Like, what did I say? What did I say that the whole Bible, all the miracles that God ever did, the whole Bible, the fact that he took them to mountains, that he took them to the Red Sea, he took them to the Jordan River at flood stage. What was God trying to do? What's he still? No, he's trying to get us to believe that all of the whole, this whole Bible right here is trying to get you to believe. Everything that God took, everything in the Old Testament, all the power, the mighty workings of God is to get us to believe and to get them to believe. He's still trying to get us to believe. Huh? That's why I told you he made a covenant. Why? Because he wasn't trustworthy? No, he was trustworthy. So he's trying to get us to believe. Well, here we go. Here they are. They've come through the Red Sea. They've seen the power of God, a pillar of fire by day and a pillar of a cloud by night, or the other way around. Pillar of a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. They've seen that. They saw the Red Sea parted, went through it. We did that in our Sunday school or vacation Bible. They saw, these people saw all that. Now they have even went over the Jordan River. They've already gone over. Flood. He parted that and they went over. They defeated Jericho, all those other things. And now, when they're getting all their portions divided up after they've defeated most of the enemy, Joseph, the children of Joseph say, well, they got the Canaanites down there got chariots and iron. So? Huh? So what? I mean, all of a sudden, God's going to leave you hanging. God's not going to, so what is God still? They still don't believe. Our problem today is still our problem today. We still got the same problem. Not believing totally. That's why we don't surrender totally, because we have a trust problem. It's a faith problem, right? So we see that. And so, we see this complaint, and they're worrying about that. Now, like I said, they were proud. They had these associations. They thought that they were a great people. And so we think about greatness. How does God assess our greatness? Is it by who you know? What church you attend or what church you belong to? By past accomplishments, that things you've done in the past? Or does he assess us as a group, or does he assess us individually? It's individually. He looks at us individually. At close range. From within. He looks at our. He sheds his light on our heart and mind for what he would call greatness. And God's assessment has everything to do with faithfulness to the Lord in every area of life. That's what God's looking for. Looking for our faithfulness. That's what he wants to see. And how often do you see that same situation repeated today? Like I say, not satisfied with the lot that we have. Not enough room for my gifts, you know? I could say, well, you know, I should be preaching to thousands of people every night instead of a handful of people. But that's not my lot, apparently. It's not my lot, right? Maybe that's not my gift. That's not my lot that God has given me. Maybe we want a larger sphere for service, and we think, you know, what should I do? Maybe, you know, I want, you know, why should I should have more? But one of the problems is it's the same problem they have. And this is what Joshua didn't say this, but he could have said this. Look, this is your lot. You don't have enough room. You still got enemies in your land. You have enemies occupying your space. Get them out. You'll have more room. Their complaint was, well, we gave us the mountain and the mountain's woods. Now, I like the woods, right? But these are farmers, right? The woods aren't a good deal. It's not a good deal. It's not good farming. You know what he told them? Cut it down. If you're such a great people, go in there and cut the wood down. Oh, but it's work. Cut the wood down and get it out. If you want some more, if that ain't enough, go ahead and defeat them. Them ones with the chariots of iron. Get them out. Get them out of there. See, here's the picture that we're going to see. The reason that our lot's not any bigger than it is right now, and we're not living to capacity, and we're not full to capacity, which I'll share with you about that, is we still got enemies in here. We still got, Satan got a foothold in here somewhere. There's a room somewhere. There's still an enemy that still needs to be dealt with here. You haven't dealt with the enemy in the land that you've already been given. God can't take you on to the next. See, you can't get any farther. You can't grow. If you're going to expand, you got to take care of this within. And so I'll probably clear that up maybe just a little bit more. Boy, and we think about it. The enemy entrenched, but sometimes we think it's this way. Boy, if I could just get away from home. If I could get away from home, boy, things would just get bigger. Man, prodigal son thought that same thing, right? Boy, his thing shrunk up in a hurry, buddy. He had it all, boy. He had daddy's land. He had daddy's food. He had daddy's servants. Boy, he said, I'm going to go out and I'm going to get mine. I'm going to have an elbow room. I'm going to grow, expand my horizon. Guess what? Boy, his money started running out and everything shrunk down to where his little world was right there in the middle of a pig pen. He was sitting right in the pig pen. Huh? That's really expanding your horizon. That's living life to capacity, right? Living life to full. He said, well, I was better off back at the Father's house. And that's what God's trying to get us to see as well. If I could go away from home, if only my circumstances would change, things would be so much better. If we just had another lot, if we just had a different place, if we had a little more land, things would be okay. We wouldn't have to fight those people for the rest of our inheritance over here. We wouldn't have to go cut all them trees down, all that work we got to do, which is a good picture. The Bible uses the terminology with sin of laying the axe to the root a lot of time. Laying the axe, you know, because when you're going to be a farmer, you just don't cut the tree off and leave the stump up. Huh, you got to dig down in there. They didn't have bulldozers and all that stuff. You got to lay the root. You got to dig that stump up. With my Uncle Howard, we went and got a sassafras tree of all things. You ever hit a sassafras tree with an axe or a hatchet? That thing bounces off of there like a rubber ball. We had a sassafras tree with a big root ball in there, and we're trying to go down there and whack on them roots with a... He didn't have a chainsaw even, man. Get that thing unhooked to hook a tractor to it to pull it out. That's how you do every single tree like that. So they didn't want to do all that. They wanted more, but they haven't done what they needed to do in the land that they already had. And a lot of us are in the same boat. If only my circumstances were different, if I had a different job, a different spouse, a different house, maybe everything would be better. Maybe that's what we want. Huh? And if you look at it from a spiritual standpoint, boy, if I was only the song leader, if I was only a Sunday school teacher, if I was only the pastor, come on down. You know, if I only had all that. Problem is you hadn't dealt with what's going on inside to get to that point right there. I always tell people this right here, especially in the area of faithfulness. I'm going to tell you something. God didn't make me a pastor and I became faithful. I was faithful and God called me to be a pastor. Amen. It's always that way in service. It's always that way in the service for the Lord. I see sometimes, we're going to give somebody a job to do so they'll be faithful at church. Uh-uh. That's never the way I've done it. And that's not the way God done it. God said, I'm going to take somebody faithful and I'm going to give them some more talents. You know the parable. I'm going to give them some more talents if they're faithful with the ones that they got. And that's what was the problem here. They weren't faithful with the lot they got, and they're wanting some more. Now, so we had a complaint. The second thing is we see there's a cause. Like I say, the problem, and I've spoken about it a little bit already, the problem may be not that you don't have enough room where you are or for your abilities, but you're not living to capacity where you are. Satan is still sharing the land with you. And one thing about capacity, let me say this. I always think of, sometimes capacity seems like it has a limit. Like if you got a bucket and it's filled to capacity. But in the area of God, listen, there's this bucket here can expand and grow and you'll never run out. You're never going to have all you can get from God. It can just come out, and it should be overflowing at the same time. But it's not an end to it nor a limit. Let me put it that way. And so what we want to do a lot of times, we want to move on in our Christian life. We want to move deeper into the land of Canaan. We want to possess an inheritance that God has for us. The problem is, as they went along the way, see, they were defeating the enemies along the way. There's a problem. See, we don't want to do that. What we like to do is go around him and see, and we're going to leave him back there. We don't have to deal with it. See, it would just be easier for Joshua to say, okay, well, I'll give you another little piece of land. You don't have to go fight those guys with the chariots, and you don't have to cut that old wood down. Problem is, when they got out there living a little farther, guess where the enemy is? You're right behind them. Huh? Still going to have to deal with them all the time. See? And so what happens is we're trying to move on, and we haven't given everything up in the area that God has dealt with us already. I guess the parable of the talents would be a good parable to insert right here, a good story. Huh? You got to be faithful in the few before God's going to give you more. You got to be faithful there. You got to deal with it. And so this is what we'd like to do. We'd like to leave it behind and go to greater things, but it's just not God's way. God will keep you where you are until you have defeated that enemy. Huh? He's going to keep you right there until you defeat the enemy and occupy to capacity what he has already given. You know, I'm one of them people that I never feel like I've done my best. I don't care what it is. I mean, maybe when you dig around there, that's a pride thing. Maybe that's what it is. You know, it's just a type of pride. I always want to do my best, but I always think, man, I could have done this, could have done that. I wish I'd have done this. I wish I'd done it different. Now, on the one hand, it's good not to be satisfied. On the other hand, it can be problematic. But I think, you know what, how many of us can say, Lord, are we really doing our best for God? Have we given everything up in our life for God? So do you think God is going to move us on to greater things, more inheritance, when we're not faithful at the inheritance he's given us already? I mean, this is what is kind of going on in our text right here as well. It could be our problem is the enemy is camped out in our heart somewhere, some area, some room in your life, and you haven't. And some of the problem is sometimes we don't want to cast him out. Way down inside. We know what the right words are. We know we're supposed to say yeah. And we know that, you know, we know that there's things in our life that we should cast out. And we say, I can't a lot of times, when really the answer is, I don't want to. I just want to hold on just a little bit longer. So like I said, you can't go around, you can't ignore, because if you do, he'll sneak up behind and get you. Now there's a challenge. We see the third point is there's a challenge. Well, what are we going to do about that? See, in verse 15, Joshua answered, if thou be great, then get thee up to the wood country and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and of the giants, if Mount Ephraim be too narrow for thee. You know what? He's a little bit of sarcasm, as I said. If thou so great, go ahead and take it. Get all you got. You don't have it all. There's plenty of unoccupied land in the lot that you've been given. Take it. See, there again with us. Sunday school teacher, pastor. We giving 100%? We want our Sunday school class to grow? We want our church to grow? Have we given 100% to that? God said, well, why would I increase it? You're not taking what you got. You're not expanding. You're not living to the capacity level where you're at right now, much less having any more responsibility or privilege or blessing, however you want to look at it. If it's forced, cut down the trees. Still not enough, drive out the enemy. What are you doing with the lot that God has already given to you? Are you doing the best, doing all you can do? The call of the Word of God is constant, relentless, and personal, ceaseless call to conflict and conquest. Everywhere they went, when they went into the promised land, the land of Canaan, the place that God gets them, what did he do? He led them. Where's the first place he took them? Jericho was right there. What do we want to do? We're trying to pick a hole where we don't come up against a conflict. We're trying to, like, if there's a city here and there's a city down there, we're trying to go through the middle here so we don't have to fight the battle, right? God took them right to Jericho, defeated that city. Went to Ai, should have won that one. Was chalked that one off, but they did defeat them. So let's just say, but he took them to a battle. He took them to a battle. He took them to a battle. He took them to a city. All along the way, it was the enemy, the enemy, the enemy, the enemy. You got to defeat the enemy. I mean, the power of God, but I mean, you got to go to the enemy. You got to defeat that. And if we go around it, if we avoid the battle, if we avoid the fight, we try not to do it. Listen, man, we're not gonna have the land. We're not gonna possess the land because the enemy's possessing part of the land as well. Cut the enemy down. The impossibilities that we talked about before. What do we say our purpose is in life? To glorify God. The impossibilities in life are there to glorify God. This is our, that's what we're to do. That's to bring God glory. What robs us of blessing, really? What robs us of blessings? The enemy encamped in our own territory. Huh? Nothing, there's nobody in life more frustrated, more unsatisfied than somebody who's living that double life. Half, like I said this morning, half flesh, half spirit. That's an unhappy person right there. It's just a conflict. It's they got that wrinkled up crease in the brow right here, wrinkled up. You look out there and you see them. How's it going? All right. You know, they're just never happy. You can look at them from here, you know, and they're the ones you look at and you say, well, I ain't asking them how it's going, you know. And they're always moaning, groaning, bitter. Why? Because they're living, they're trying to live. They got the enemy there. Don't want to fight him, but they got to. They've got to do it. And so we have the challenge. What are we going to do? What robs us of blessing? It's this enemy that's encamped in our own territory, and we haven't gone down there to do anything about it. We haven't taken care of it. Got to get it out of our life. We got to lay that root to the axe to the root that I talked about. And listen, God can't and he will not entrust us with more until we learn that lesson. Question, is your life sweeter and lovelier and more radiant because you're a Christian? Is it sweeter, lovelier, and more radiant than you're a Christian? Some of you bobbing your head up and down, let me just say, without calling out any names, I'm glad I didn't see it before you were a Christian. Huh? Think about that. What hinders our life? Whatever it is. I'm just asking you, what is hindering your life? Put that axe to it. Lay it out. Get it out. Get it out of there. And you know, we can do it. Because of the cross, the enemy has no right. The enemy has no right to dwell in the land. The enemy has no right to dwell in our heart, to dwell in our life. There's no right to that because of the cross of Christ. Satan has no power in the presence of omnipotence. He has no power in the presence of omnipotence. I'll share this story. I've shared this before, but some of those may not have been here at the time. When I first was going to preach my first message, Pastor Frank was the pastor boy, and you know, he said, hey, you get an outline together. He said, I'm going to let you preach it. I said, okay. We had the nursing home ministry. Stella, you remember that those days? Stella, Patty, all the kids, Joyce Jones. Yeah, Don Jones too. And we had hymn books and pianos, man. And I went to those adult homes. It was three adult homes. We went every other Sunday. We'd come down here at church at 4:30. I think we didn't start till 7 then. We'd come down here and we'd go around there. Stanley and Shelby, you guys went. All the kids went. We had a big entourage. And I was doing the nursing home ministry, and then I felt like God was calling me to preach. Pastor Frank said, hey, you get your message together. He said, I'm going to let you preach it. Got to preach it on Super Bowl Sunday, and the Cowboys were playing. He said, I'm going to move the time up an hour. So he moved the time up a little sooner. He knew I wanted to see the game, but I was going to preach my message. Got it together and all that. But anyway, the night before I was going to preach it, I had a dream. And Satan, I had been working at the addition at Yokohama Tire. I was a welder, pipe welder. But in there, the stairwells were in place, but they didn't have any walls so you could see them. And then you know how your dreams are. You could be anywhere, right? So there I was in Yokohama Tire. And I had to go upstairs, and Satan was sitting on a 55-gallon barrel. And I had to go by him. And in my dream, I was afraid. And I remember going up the steps, and Satan was sitting there, and he was looking at me, and I was afraid of him. And I started going up the steps because I had to go up the steps. Isn't that a great picture? Going up, not down. Satan sitting there. And real weakly, I said, you don't have any power over me. I was afraid. You don't have any power over me. And I saw he didn't do anything in my dream. And I went another step, and I said, you don't have any power over me. And he didn't do anything. And I got real loud and I said, you don't have any power over me. And I didn't know, you know, the next morning, man, I mean, whenever I woke up, And I walked by him, and he just slumped. He couldn't do anything, and I went up the steps. Next morning, Sherry said, "What were you dreaming about last night?" I said, "Why?" She goes, "Man, I'm telling you, you were moaning, this moan inside of you." And she said, "There was an evil presence in the room." Woo! The night before I was going to preach here, I preached on that side of it. See, that's what she said. But I said, "Oh, man, it's so true." See, we're afraid of them. We're afraid of the enemy. And we know what to say. We know to say, "You don't have any power over me. You can't be, you don't have any power over me." You know, like messing with a big dog, right? You don't know what he's going to do. And then I was getting louder and I was getting bolder because I could see he wouldn't do it, and I just walked right by him. He couldn't do nothing. You see, we don't want, that's the victory that we have over the enemy, man. I mean, it was every now and then I got to remind myself of that story right there. So we have the power to overcome every enemy. Satan doesn't have any power. There's nothing he can do. We can defeat everything. And then the last point I want to talk to you about, the capacity. You know, it all begins when we begin to pray and to seek. You listen to this prayer right here. I never hear this. I probably never pray it. Pray for God to enlarge our capacity for Christ. We have a larger capacity for Jesus than we are experiencing. We do. I mean, even just like we are. And then if we got full at this level, we could have our capacity, our ability to have more of God increased. You'll never exhaust this, in other words, what I was trying to say a little bit earlier. Our capacity for the indwelling Christ is not incapable of expansion. It is capable of expansion. And when Jesus increases in our life, guess what? Our increased opportunity will arise as Jesus increases in our life. These are the prayers that we need to pray. That's what we need to pray. More of Christ in our heart and mind. And when our heart and mind is expanded, that's the territory that we need to be concerned about, our heart and mind, that territory there. Filled with, to the brim, to the overflowing. I think it ought to be at the overflowing level all the time. Because if it's not filled up in us, it's not going to go out to anybody else. See, most of us don't have enough for ourselves. Not because of God. Because of us. And so when we've got reserved rooms that we're not letting God in, and we've got sin in our life that needs to be dealt with, we're not filled to capacity with God, and therefore we're not much use to God. It's not overflowing to anybody else that needs God. We've got to be filled up. We've got to deal with all this. See, we're so much on the level, we're so much on the elementary level, we're still dealing with the enemy in our territory before we can go out and fight any other enemy in any other new territory. We deal with ourselves more. Pastors' lives, we spend more time running around after wayward church members than we do hunting down the lost people. Amen. It's been that way my whole ministry time, and every pastor I talk to tell you the same thing. So-and-so's mad, you got to go talk to them when you could be going and talking to somebody that's lost. I mean, sometimes it's human nature. I mean, that's just the way it is. We got so much to deal with in here that it's not overflowing out to anybody else. It's possible. It was flowing out to somebody else. And so, as I said, most of us should be aware that we have a greater capacity for the power and grace than we're experiencing now in our life. We should know that. You should know that. So how does the heart expand to receive more and more of Jesus? The capacity to receive the grace of God and the indwelling Spirit is measured by the character of your obedience and faith. That's the only way that we can increase our capacity. You got to be faithful. Like I said a while ago, I didn't become faithful after I was the pastor. I was faithful to at least my attendance, and not that there wasn't things to deal with. I got over that hump. You know, I got over the hump of deciding whether I was going to go to church or not. Pete's sake, man, a lot of people in churches can't get over that hump. They didn't know when they left here today if they was coming back or not. Some of them didn't come back. They didn't have it settled in their mind. Some of them might have had it settled in the they had it settled in their mind that they weren't coming. Huh? Guess what? God isn't calling them to do any very many great things. He's not. He's just not. He's not doing that. And so it's our obedience and faith is going to be how we enlarge our capacity. If you want more of him, cut down the dead wood and burn it. That's what you do. Cut down the dead wood. Get rid of it. Get rid of anything that robs you of your victory or robs you of your joy. Get rid of it. Take it away. The greater the obedience, the greater the discipline, the greater the faith, the fuller and more complete our life in Christ becomes. And there's no limit to that capacity. Christ can increase every day. You never arrive. You'll never arrive to where, like our text this morning with what Paul said. Huh? He said, I haven't apprehended yet. I haven't. The soul of the Christian either grows or shrinks. It never stays the same. Everybody here, you're either growing or backsliding. That's a biblical word, actually. You're either growing, going forward, or going back. There's no in between. And then note this, he in whom Christ increases will at the same time become smaller himself. You won't be running around telling everybody how great people you are and you deserve more. Children of Joseph. Now, you won't be telling that, no. When Christ increases, John the Baptist said that. He said, he must increase, I must decrease. If he increases, you will decrease. And the Lord being seen more and more and more in life. You know, expanding spiritually. I wish, and I don't know how plain this message came across, really. If you could figure that, if you could get people to see this, there are so many people that are satisfied with where they are, and literally they're not going forward. They're probably going backwards. But they just cannot see the things we're talking about tonight, an increase in capacity for Christ, that's available. Satisfied with salvation, the very elementary thing. But there's more. God had another purpose to draw him closer to himself through after salvation. They just can't see that. If we don't expand, we're going to shrink up. And it happens all the time. Amen? Amen. Hope the message helped you tonight some. And we'll go ahead and close. Paul will come. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word tonight. Lord, help us in our prayer life. Lord, we think about the things that we do pray about, how little we pray for things along these lines to help us to expand our capacity for you. Lord, help us to be full. Lord, help us to deal with what needs to be dealt with. There's things in our life that we need to deal with, and we know it. Lord, help us to deal with that. Get that out of our life, and there'll be more room for Jesus, Lord. And help us to expand that. And so I pray, Lord, tonight this message will bless us, Lord. Give us something to think about, to meditate upon as we just think about our life tonight, tomorrow, whenever we think about that. I pray it'll be a blessing to the folks here tonight. Have your will and way here in our invitation here, Lord. We talk to you about these things. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Thank you, Pastor.